Let's go to the top of the hill.
But here she comes, and the valley roars. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Weeks has done it.
Jungle Edge is going well. It's a muddy marble.
Found the grand kick. Found the clear spot for Australia. They're on top of the world.
I'm on top of the world. Eh? I'm on top of the world. Eh?
With the voice of Victorian racing, Matt Hill.
Oh, not many of our guests get an intro like that, but it is a special occasion because the voice of Victorian racing and the star of racing.com, Matty Hill, has his very first segment, which will be a weekly segment on Racing Pulse. We'll have a look at the lighter side, plus the issues of the week, and Matty will give us his call of the week as well. Matthew Hill, good morning to you.
Hello, Michael. I'm blushing after that. What a fantastic introduction. I very much appreciate it.
Well, we're very pleased to have you on board in such strange times. Matt, what is it like? Because you are one of the few people that still attends the race meetings. You're there each and every week. What's it like calling to an empty race course?
Yeah, it's a great question because it is a challenge, I must confess. I mean, the first day, we go all the way back to All-Star Mile Day, Michael, and we'd come off such a busy autumn carnival and some really healthy crowds through the Blue Diamond and through the VRC meetings as well, like the Australian Cup program. And who would have thought that it was going to be so drastic that by All-Star Mile Day, we would have literally no one at the track. And I remember on All-Star Mile Day, Brendan Delaney, who works with me in the box, said, "How eerie is this?" when we had horses, you know, thousands of dollars worth of horse flesh, millions of dollars worth of horse flesh in the mounting yard, walking around in absolute silence. And that scene of regal power coming back after winning the big race, after winning a $5 million race, and all but a couple of administrators left to clap him into the winner's circle. So it has been eerie. And the commentator, there's no doubt you lift off a big crowd, and it almost really switches you on. I think race calling is such a concentration game. And when you're at a racetrack for 6 hours and there's literally no one to talk to, and it is like going to a set of barrier trials at times, it is a little bit off-putting. But I think we're resigned to the fact now that this is what we're going to be used to for the next 3 or 4 months at least, heading towards the spring racing carnival. And I've switched my mindset around. I was probably in denial early in the winter, thinking, "Michael, we're going to have a crowd. We'll be okay." But I think we've just turned it into now a very good reality TV and radio show racing. It's going to be all for the viewers and all for the listeners, and that's what we're left with.
I don't want to put the pressure on you, Matty, but you're going to be even more important this year because it will be through your calls, your voice, your engagement and excitement that the picture gets told, especially for our biggest races. You've done it remarkably well through this winter period. The call of the Grand National was another prime example on Sunday, and even Jungle Edge that we used in the opener. You've been able to convey that excitement, but how tough will it be for you, come a Caulfield Cup, a Cox Plate, where, as you say, you normally feed off the crowd, and the most important and the biggest, the Lexus Melbourne Cup, to have that level of excitement, I suppose?
Well, I think the race caller, if you love the sport, which I dearly do, you know, you work off the horses, and I think the horses will certainly lift me. I mean, we're going to see some outstanding performances, aren't we? We're heading towards a great Cox Plate, judging by the nominations that were announced over the last few days. And the Melbourne Cup is a special race, and I think the one thing I'm trying to draw off is I reckon we're in for such a unique and memorable year. I mean, who would have ever thought that the Melbourne Cup could be run in front of, well, at this stage, it looks as though a minimal crowd, if that is the absolute maximum, it could be run in front of nobody. But I think you'll have to embrace its uniqueness. It might draw some Australians together closer than we've been on Melbourne Cup Day. It'll be a very, very interesting afternoon. So I think the uniqueness of it and the horses, it'll lift me. And it's not hard to concentrate when there's something intriguing going on the race course. And I think I'm just going to have to draw off that.
You've called so many different sports. I was with you at Beijing before you nearly died. We'll save that for another segment, calling the rowing. You've called AFL, you've called tennis. Is racing the most difficult sport you've called?
I think it would have to be sports that I've done, such as athletics in London and speed skating in Sochi. They're similar to horse racing in a way, because it's a race. It's a race, and you just change the jargon around a little, and you have to know what's going on with the athletes and get amongst the sport and live and breathe it. But I think with racing, it throws up so many challenges. I know Alan Thomas, the well-known Queensland race caller, always said that it's not an exact science. It's not a computer science. So I think what tends to happen nowadays is, because there's so much racing and so many race calls out there, the punters demand perfection in a way, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's almost perfectionism that couldn't happen. It just can't happen. Like even on Saturday, I admit I got the last race wrong on Saturday. A horse bobbed freakishly, Melodian, on the line, and it wasn't in front and before the line or after the line. It was just on the line, and I got it wrong. It's not an exact science, so it probably is the hardest to call in that respect. And the fact that you're doing it three times a week with lots of different names. I think I call about 200 horses a week. The brain can take a fair bit, but, it has an off day like everybody else. So, yeah, it probably is the toughest, I'd suggest.
Just on that, Matt, we very rarely see you make a mistake, and that was just a judgment call. It wasn't getting a horse's name wrong, but how much does that annoy you?
Oh, it annoys me in that, you like to get it right for the punter, and I have a bet occasionally. Everyone likes to get things right, but I think in that case on Saturday it's difficult, because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because half the people I talk to say, oh, I'd love you to have more of a go in photos. The punter wants you to have a go, and then half the punters say don't have a go in a photo. So I very rarely guess. I think the biggest mistake broadcasters make is they tend to guess, and it's the golden rule: if you don't know, don't say anything. But that one just drew me in on Saturday. I genuinely thought that the proper rogue had got the bob in. So as I say, it was one of those freakish things. It was a freakish ride too, incidentally, by Damien Lane to get that nose down right where it mattered. He wasn't in front anywhere else on the post, so it was probably a bit of an optical illusion as well. But of course it annoys you, but there's plenty of other races to call and get right. It's just one of those things. You probably get...
You weren't on proper rogue, were you?
No, I wasn't. No. I didn't have a bet over the weekend, actually, which...
you were smart then.
...in that respect. But, of course, you want to get it right. But, hey...
I'm looking forward to... You're going to do us a favour over the next few weeks. You're going to go through your own personal archives and pull out some of your very first calls when you were a kid, calling into a tape recorder. But each week we're also going to get your Matt Hill Call of the Week. And it doesn't need to be in racing. It can be across any sport, or any spectacle that you see around the world. But the very first one that you want to pull out is one that's inspired you when you were becoming a race caller. Which one is it, Matt?
Well, I think, Michael, just about the science of race calling, that the thing is you want to get a moment right. We live and breathe by... a race caller could basically be defined by 5 seconds of commentary. But the one race call that I think I was practicing by this stage, I was about 16, I think, from memory. But if this race call doesn't inspire anybody to call a race, or if you can't get excited by this race call, you're tired of life, I think. This was Testarossa Redoute's Choice fighting out the Caulfield Guineas and Greg Miles. It was a bottler.
A line moved up to put some acid to the leader, Redoute's Choice, who still has a little bit left in the tank. Testarossa, Oliver's just waiting and waiting. Redoute's Choice left the fence. There's the run for Testarossa, if he's got enough. A line coming at them on the outside with pins. They reach the 200, and Testarossa, sprinting very fast, has moved up and has gone to the lead over Redoute's Choice. Cassidy had to pull the whip, and then pins. It's Testarossa clear, though. Redoute's Choice is coming again. Testarossa has to find Redoute's Ditch. He lunges and wins. Redoute's Choice beat Testarossa, a magnificent Guineas. In behind them, either Oval Office for third with Commands, and then...
Oh, it still gets the hair on the back of the neck standing up, Matty. Was that a little bit similar? I remember listening to interviewing the great Bruce McAvaney, who called the Cox plate with Bone Crusher our Waverley star, and he walked out and he said, "Gee, I've done a pretty good job there." And then he said, "I heard Bill's call," and I thought, "I've got a long way to go."
Well, that's right. Somewhere in my little cassette collection, I'd have that race, and I've probably never listened to it ever again. It was a mighty call, wasn't it? And a mighty race. But that's the thing. Race callers have to find the words at the moment, and you only get one crack at it. And, you know, you'd love to have a second crack at races, you know, over the years. I'd love to have a second crack at the ninth at Moonee Valley on Saturday, but that's why you embrace it. It's a live sport, you know, and you get one go, and that's why we were attracted to it in the first place. And I just thought that race call of Redoute's Choice Testarossa, I listened to that over and over and over again. It was just perfection.
Your memory, Matt, is phenomenal. Every race caller, their memory I'm in awe of. In this lockdown period where you get one chance to go out shopping, do you have to write down your note, or do you just walk straight into the butcher's, the news agents, the bottle shop, and know exactly what you're ordering, or do you forget things?
Great question. I could tell you every colour of nearly every horse that I've called in the last 3 weeks, but I always forget something when I go to the shops. Guarantee it. If I've got to get 12 things... I'll get 10 things and completely forget about the milk, or completely forget about the soft drink or whatever it is. So I've got a feeling if you really love something and you train your brain enough to do it, you can do it. And, you know, I was obsessed as a kid, Nick. You know, I was 14, 15. I was desperate to be a race caller and would, you know, mimic all the great race callers in my bedroom, you know, and listen to the races and just want to be them. And I just think that I trained my brain so much. It was just a one-track mind, pardon the expression. And, you know, I absolutely adore it. So it's very easy to remember stuff when you love it.
Looking forward to delving more into that amazing mind of yours in your segment each and every week. You've got a day off today, not calling at Cranbourne. So will you just kick back on the couch and have a bit of a punt?
Well, I think I might. I must confess, when I woke up this morning and it was freezing, I was very happy to stay in bed for an extra hour. But, yeah, we'll be back with it on Saturday. Looking forward to the Ori Star. Of course, the traditionalists would remember when that race was Wednesday at Flemington, and the Melbourne Cup horses had come in and you know, they'd race down the straight with 64 kilos. I think Bart Cummings used to love springboarding them in the Ori Star. So it's an iconic race. So looking forward to being there on Saturday.
Look forward to hearing your dulcet tones, Matty, and look forward to your segment, which we'll have each and every week on Racing Pulse. Enjoy your day off. Hope you're back a winner, Matty.
No, thanks, Michael. Great to be with you each week. And, we'll try and find some great commentaries around the world, even if it's some sports that we've never heard of.
I'd like that. You've called some oblique sports. I might get you to find a piece of commentary from one of the weirdest sports you've ever called, because I know you've called a few. We might do that next week. Good on you, Matty.
Good on you, mate. Cheers.